So to break free from that particular codependent behavior, you have to pull back and start to recognize that that's not your job, that that is not your job. And that feeling guilty all of the time and feeling like you owe everyone everything and that you always have to show up for everyone all the time and that that's your role in life is so incredibly fatiguing and it's going to drain you of your life force energy every single day. And it is not going to bring you joy. Welcome back to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Zeller. I'm really excited for this short but extremely powerful episode today. I have found that codependency, enmeshment, and people-pleasing is really, really hard to spot in ourselves. So that's why I wanted to make this episode to give you three signs that you are potentially exhibiting codependent behavior. Be sure to check out the show notes. I have a lot of episodes linked that you can listen to following this one, episodes about codependency and people-pleasing and boundaries. I have all sorts of goodies for you in the show notes as well, a link to a free class, and you can also check out my courses at thetransformationschool.com. If you are not following or subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and just hit follow or subscribe right now so that you don't miss future episodes as they are released. And please don't forget to give me a 5-star review. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. It is what helps me reach other people just like you. I hope you enjoy this episode. Without further ado, let's dive in. When it comes to codependency, people-pleasing, enmeshment, and a lack of boundaries, one of the most difficult reasons that we don't change these behaviors or enter into more healthy relationship dynamics is because we have a hard time seeing where exactly and how exactly we are being codependent and what relationships are actually not as healthy as they could be, right? So recently I've been doing a lot of episodes on people-pleasing and boundaries and codependency, and I'm going to link some of those in the show notes because those are great episodes to follow up after this one. But in this episode, I want to share just three signs that you may be in a somewhat codependent relationship or that you are exhibiting codependent patterns. Now, the word codependency is not as common of a word as people-pleasing or just a lack of boundaries or enmeshment, but codependent really is very similar to those things. That's why I am sort of clumping them all together. In fact, it's actually codependent behaviors that lead us into people-pleasing. So if you identify as a people-pleaser, you very, very likely have codependent patterns, and you may recognize at least one of these three signs that I'm going to cover today. So let's just dive in. So sign number one that you may be in a codependent relationship with someone or with many people is a deep need for agreement, for others to agree with your decisions, perspectives, likes, and dislikes. I talk to a lot of people all the time who are trying to make sometimes a big decision, but also even small decisions, and they feel like they need to talk to their partner about it, or they need to talk to their parent about it, or they need to talk to their best friend about it, or they need to kind of survey everyone in their life to see what they think about that decision. When we are in this codependent pattern of, first of all, just surveying everyone else to see what they think, a lot of times we do that because we've lost deep touch with who we are, what we like and what we dislike, and we've lost trust with ourselves. We don't trust ourselves to make the best decision. And so because we don't trust ourselves to make the best decision, we feel like we have to ask everyone else what they would do, number one. And number two, there's also a deep fear of judgment from other people. So a lot of times we will ask other people what they think we should do because we are afraid that if we make a certain decision that is out of alignment with what the other person thinks, that we will then be judged by that person. So there's a real fear in codependent relationships of disagreement, of the other person judging us, of the other person not agreeing with us. And if the other person doesn't agree with us, we then feel a deep sense of unease, of unease. So if you have ever been trying to make a big decision and you've talked to your sibling about it, your best friend about it, your partner about it, your parent about it, and they disagreed with your decision, did that trigger you? Did that make you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel frustrated? Because if you did, then that relationship may be codependent. In fact, it is. It most likely is. Because when we are not in codependent relationships, we are able to make our own decisions and we don't need other people to agree with us. We just don't need it because we trust ourselves so much and so deeply that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks because we know what's best for us and we know what we should do. Here's the thing. When you are asking other people to help you make a decision or you're just surveying them to see what they would think if you make a decision, all they're doing is just telling you what they would do if they were in your shoes, but they're not you. Only you are you. Only you know what's best for you. But until you can learn to really trust yourself more than anyone else and trust your ability to make your own decisions, then you will always be looking outside of you for guidance and direction. And that's an exhausting thing to have to do. That's really exhausting. And it's especially exhausting if you feel like you need every single person around you to agree with your decision. Now, going back to this deep need for agreement, this can also be an agreement in terms of your likes and dislikes. So, like, let's think about political affiliation. If you have a certain opinion or like or dislike, and you share that with someone close to you, and they have a different opinion or like or dislike, if you're in a codependent dynamic with them, then they may really bother you or annoy you that they don't see things exactly like you, or that you have a different opinion than them. So what you may then set out to do is try to convince them to see things from your perspective. And there can almost be like a frenetic, frantic dog paddling energy that you have in order to convince them to see things exactly like you. So in those moments, you have to stop, you have to kind of pull back, and you have to question, like, why do I have this frantic dog paddling energy? Why do I feel like I need to convince them? Why do I feel like I need them to see things from my perspective? If you do, it's because you're in an unhealthy codependent dynamic with that person. What is really beautiful and really freeing is when we allow other people to disagree, have different opinions, have different likes and dislikes, have different perspectives, and we don't feel threatened by them. We don't feel threatened by them. We don't get triggered if they have a different perspective than we do. That is a really healthy relationship dynamic where we let other people be different from us and they let us be different from them too, because this isn't just about our relationship with other people. It's also about other people's relationship with us, right? So if you, as an alternative here, is if you are in a relationship with someone and they always need you to agree, they always need you to see things from their perspective, that is them being codependent with you. And if that is the case, you can always just say, hey, it's okay for us to disagree. We can have peace and disagree. So sign number one of codependency is a need for agreement and for others to agree with your decisions, opinions, perspectives, likes, and dislikes. If you have that deep need, and after you listen to this episode, really be looking for it. Do I feel disturbed, perturbed when other people disagree with me about anything? Does that bother me? If it does, then you are engaged in a codependent behavior or dynamic. Sign number two is difficulty doing things totally on your own. So you have a desire for companionship that runs so deep that you don't want to venture off to do things totally by yourself. An example of this is I remember I had a client a couple years ago who really wanted to work out every single day. And when I asked him why he wasn't, he started telling me about how his wife doesn't and how she refuses to go work out. And it was really interesting because he immediately was telling me how she refuses to do something when we weren't talking about her, we were talking about him. But that's a perfect example of a codependent relationship where you may want to be doing something, but you're stopping yourself from doing it because your partner's not doing it with you or your partner doesn't value that thing. I see this most commonly in intimate partnerships, in relationships, where it's almost like these two people start to merge into one. And if one person doesn't value something, then the other person doesn't engage with that thing. So another example is, I've just seen this within my business where I've talked to people and they really, really want to take a course of mine. And then they tell me they have to ask their partner what their partner thinks. And if their partner doesn't want to take the course or doesn't maybe understand the value of the course, then they may not sign up. That again is a very codependent behavior, because instead of making the fully autonomous decision of doesn't have anything to do with my partner, whether I go work out, whether I travel, whether I take this course, whether I buy these new clothes, it has nothing to do with my partner. It has everything to do with me and what feels right for me and what my intuition is guiding me to do. If you're not able to make that decision without talking to your partner about literally everything, then that's a codependent behavior. And the unfortunate thing about this, and listen, no shade, I used to do this for years and years and years with my intimate partners. Like, oh my God, this was totally me. So I'm speaking from experience here. The most suffocating thing about doing this is that you miss out on so much of life. You miss out on so much of life. And you miss out on being your full authentic self. You miss out on feeling good. You miss out on shining. I mean, there's so, so much you miss out on. And because I have left so many relationships and been divorced a couple of times, I know that when I left those relationships, I exploded and I blossomed. Why? Because I suddenly felt free to do what I wanted to do. And I wasn't making my decisions based on what my partner valued. And sometimes it's not even that your partner tells you not to do it. It's just that your partner doesn't value it. And because your partner doesn't value it, suddenly you don't value it. So it's very, very insidious. With all three of these signs, I think it's really important to really sit with them rather than immediately write them off and think you don't do them, because I can't tell you how unbelievably common these are. Like so, so, so common. So this also applies to like maybe traveling by yourself or buying new clothes, or yeah, this can apply to so many things. And I think one way to evaluate this is, because I see this sign most commonly in couples, I think one way to evaluate this is to ask yourself, what would I do if I were single? And to really sit with that and take time with that. Who would I be if I were single? What decisions would I make if I were single? What would I be doing today if I were single? And if you are not doing some of those things, and I mean, you know, not necessarily like, well, if I were single, I'd be dating other people, right? Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, what would you be doing day to day? Would you be working out? Would you be wearing different clothes? Would you be buying different foods? Would you be cooking more? Would you be going to movies? Would you be traveling more? Would you be taking courses? Would you sign up for, you know, a different program? Would you go see a show? Like, what would you be doing if you were single? And then ask yourself, am I doing that in this relationship? And if you're not, why? Because I would bet those things that you're not doing are things that your partner doesn't value. So a really thriving partnership, like couple, are two people where they do things based on where their heart guides them to and what is aligned with their most authentic selves. And they don't have to essentially ask permission or only do things that their partner values. Like me and my relationship right now, my partner does things that I don't particularly value, and I do things that he doesn't particularly value. And yet, because we are both fully autonomous, making our own decisions, doing things that we each value on our own, we feel more lit up and alive as separate people, which then makes our relationship a lot more yummy and interesting and dynamic, because we as separate beings are much happier people. And I, again, have this to compare to previous relationships where that was not the case, where I was, you know, overvaluing what my partner's perspective was and what they valued. And if they didn't want to do certain things, then I just wouldn't do it. And I wasn't even really thinking about it. I just wasn't doing those things. So sign number two that you could be in a codependent relationship or be exhibiting codependent behaviors is difficulty doing things totally on your own. And your desire for companionship runs so deep that you don't want to venture off to do things totally by yourself. Number three, the third sign that you could be in a codependent dynamic, is you feel guilty all the time. This is so huge, because I feel like for most of my life, I was just in a perpetual state of feeling so, so guilty. You feel guilty for not including others. Maybe when you feel like, oh, I should have included that person. You maybe feel guilty for not checking in on people. Like, oh, I should be calling this person, or I should be checking in on this person. Sometimes you may even feel guilty for having fun or having fun without certain people. There's just this underlying sense of, I owe all of these people something all the time. And if I'm not doing those things, then I feel guilty. And I worry that they're about to call me out for it. And then I'm going to feel even worse. So I used to feel this all the time if I didn't call certain family members. Like if I wouldn't call them for a week or two, I knew I was about to get in trouble. Like one of my family members was going to call me and say like, why haven't you called me? Or if I would go out and do something fun, if I didn't invite, you know, person A or person B, I was like so worried that they were going to find out and then they were going to get upset. Or, you know, there were just certain people that I was felt like I needed to always be looking after. And if I wasn't doing that, then I was always feeling guilty. And it was like I was kind of walking on eggshells all the time, just worrying about not doing the right thing and or worrying about my partner being mad at me because I wasn't doing the right thing. So there's this just like constant sense of, oh my gosh, I could get in trouble at any point in time. Anybody could call me out for not doing the right thing. And so it's almost like I was making myself feel guilty before I even got in trouble. Because if I felt guilty first, then in some way that was better in my mind. When we have this like sense of feeling guilt all the time, there's this energy that we hold of like other people are entitled to me and my actions. And it's almost like you owe all these things to all these people all the time. And that is messy because you don't. That's just not true. You absolutely don't. But somewhere in the past, probably in your childhood, you were conditioned to believe that you do owe people all these things all the time. Especially, for instance, if you kind of were a caretaker growing up, or you looked after a sibling, or you were always the one that made one of your parents feel better, or you were always like in a hypervigilant state, feeling into like who's upset, and then you were the one that was going to go make that person feel better. In a way, you took that on as like your job. And then in adulthood, if you're not doing your quote job, you feel guilty. You feel like you're failing. You feel like you're not stepping up. But that is a codependent behavior. Because what that is doing is it's assuming that it's up to you to make everyone around you feel better. And when you assume responsibility for other people's lives and feelings and emotions, it's actually not giving them independence to manage their own lives and energy and emotions, because you're doing it for them. And there's a certain kind of person out there that wants you to do that for them, but that stunts their growth and it's a huge burden to you. So to break free from that particular codependent behavior, you have to pull back and start to recognize that that's not your job, that that is not your job, and that feeling guilty all of the time and feeling like you owe everyone everything and that you always have to show up for everyone all the time and that that's your role in life is so incredibly fatiguing and is going to drain you of your life force energy every single day, and it is not going to bring you joy. So sign of codependency number 3 is feeling guilty all the time. Just to recap these 3 signs, sign number 1 is a need for agreement for others to agree with your decisions, opinions, perspectives, likes, and dislikes. Sign number 2 is difficulty doing things totally on your own. Your desire for companionship runs so deep that you don't venture off to do things totally by yourself. And number 3 is feeling guilty all of the time. Hopefully you have learned something from these 3 signs. As I said, I have so many episodes on boundaries and people pleasing and codependency and enmeshment. You can see those in the show notes or just search through this podcast. There have especially been some recently. I hope this episode has benefited you. If you feel like you know someone else that this episode could really serve, be sure to pass it along to them. And if you enjoyed the episode, follow and subscribe so that you don't miss future episodes. And please give me a 5-star review wherever you are listening. That really helps me reach more people just like you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.